The NTSB explains why steam gauges are safer for now. The FAA says the U.S. economy needs next-gen ATC. And anyone involved in business aviation must become an ambassador. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, March 11th, 2010. The NTSB this week adopted a study concluding that single-engine airplanes equipped with glass cockpits have no better an overall safety record than airplanes with steam gauges. In fact, the study looked at accident rates of over 8,000 small piston-powered airplanes manufactured between 2002 and 2006 and found glass cockpits had a higher fatal accident rate than similar aircraft with traditional instruments. The board determined that the explanation lies with inadequate training received by some pilots transitioning from older planes. In her comment on the report, Board Chair Deborah Herzman noted, quote, "This study clearly demonstrates the life and death importance of appropriate training on these complex systems. We know that while many pilots have thousands of hours of experience with conventional flight instruments, that alone is just not enough to prepare them to safely operate airplanes equipped with these glass cockpit features," unquote. NTSB has recommended the FAA enhance pilot knowledge and training requirements, require manufacturers to provide pilots with information to better manage system failures, include training and proficiency on glass panels in training materials, knowledge requirements, and recurrent training, support equipment-specific training using simulators and not just those sims approved by the FAA as flight training devices, and inform the GA community about the importance of reporting malfunctions or defects in glass panel equipment. The FAA is out with a forecast that says next-gen ATC development will play a vital role in spurring not only long-term sustained growth in air travel, but the nation's overall economic health. The FAA's 20-year forecast through fiscal 2030 was unveiled on Tuesday. It predicts domestic passenger emplanements will increase by 0.5% this year, then grow an average of 2.5% per year during the remaining forecast period. At the nation's 35 busiest airports, operations are expected to increase 60% by 2030. FAA Administrator Randy Babbitt contends, quote, "This forecast makes a very strong business case for NextGen. Without NextGen, we won't be able to handle the increased demand for service that this forecast anticipates," unquote. Cessna VP of Corporate Communications Bob Stangerone took a familiar message to Europe this week. Speaking Tuesday at the annual conference of the British Business and General Aviation Association, he called for transatlantic unity in promoting the value and image of business aviation. Quote, "Everyone in our industry should consider themselves ambassadors. Together, we need to make sure the facts are heard. The vast majority of companies that rely on business aviation are small and medium-sized operations. Business jets are a lifeline for small cities across North America and remote communities in Europe, and they play a critical role in disaster relief efforts following catastrophes such as the earthquake in Haiti," unquote. Noting Cessna's own Rise ad campaign, Stangerone continued, quote, "As an industry, we're a force with strong points to make and a solid strategy. We're making good headway, but we have to keep working to protect our image," unquote. The BBGA is the UK's national trade body representing companies operating and trading in general and business aviation. Up next on ANN, a NASA summer scholar stands out in his chosen field. NATA makes an FAA safety tool easier to use. And airliners are about to get onboard Bluetooth. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, You'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ-2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for March 11th. I'm Paul Plack. Last year's eruption of Mount Redoubt in Alaska brought a real headache to airline travelers. It's also brought an award to Texas A&M University student Alex Matus. Matus spent last summer as a Langley Aerospace Summer Research Scholar, where he worked with atmospheric scientist John Murray in NASA's Science Directorate. By fusing data sets from the Ozone Monitoring Instrument and Calypso, the Cloud Aerosol LiDAR and Infrared Pathfinder satellite observations, Matus found the volcano erupted to over 60,000 feet in altitude, and the ash followed the prevailing winds. At lower altitudes, the ash went to the northeast toward Canada, and at high altitudes, the ash dispersed to the southeast toward Washington State. Murray, his mentor, says the technique will be valuable to future researchers. For his report, titled "The Impacts on Air Traffic of Volcanic Ash from the 2009 Mount Redoubt Eruption," Matus gets a certificate, a monetary reward, and notice in the upcoming issue of the Bulletin of the American Meteorological Society. The Pennsylvania resident says he'd like to do similar research in the future. Flight Risk Assessment Tool, or FRAT, is a worksheet published by the FAA, which helps identify potential hazards prior to a flight and weigh the risk associated with each of 38 hazards through a 5-step process. If that sounds like a lot to add to a pre-flight, you'll be glad to know it's now been automated by the National Air Transportation Association. NATA rolled out RA Check at the Air Charter Safety Foundation's 2010 symposium last week. To use the FAA worksheet, operators have to create numerical thresholds that trigger additional levels of scrutiny prior to a flight. NATA says that RA Check removes subjectivity and standardizes results, streamlines data entry processes, and is fully integrated with the Computing Technologies for Aviation Flight Operating System. You can find out more about it at nata.org/RAcheck. The emergence of Wi-Fi service on airliners is pretty neat, but ASIC Limited thinks it has a better way. The company this week announced the release of the world's first aircraft Bluetooth access point and the SafeCell app, which works with it. Without diving too deep into geek speak, the system supports mobile devices, which ASIC says is the choice of most airline travelers for in-flight data, via Bluetooth rather than Wi-Fi. The company says it's less expensive for consumers, eliminates roaming charges, and will cost 1/10 to 1/50 as much to equip an airliner as current Wi-Fi solutions do. Notebook computers are starting to be offered with Bluetooth transceivers, so even they may be able to use the service soon. ASIC says two nodes will cover the cabin of a typical narrow-body airliner, and 192 users can log on to each of the nodes. The company adds several airlines have been following its progress, and it expects to announce a launch customer in the second quarter of this year. Still ahead, the AFGE likes General Harding, for now. Europe is helping bring space technology to Earthlings. And guess what's about to reach the million-hour milestone? You're listening to Aero News.
You hear that sound? It's one of the all-time great inventions. Takes lids off cans just like that. But now, let's picture something even bigger. A tool that can take the lid off a whole airport. Actually, thousands of airports. It's a Garmin Wass GPS. Lets you make glide path approaches using runways that were once closed tight during IFR conditions. Hey, if you're gonna fly in the soup, you gotta have an opener. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, March 11th. I'm Paul Plack. The American Federation of Government Employees, that's the union which hopes to win the right to represent TSA screeners, is praising the Obama administration for its nomination of Major General Robert Harding to lead the agency. AFGE National President John Gage commented, quote, "Mr. Harding has an impressive military record with more than 3 decades of service in the U.S. Army and has an exceptional background in intelligence matters. From what we can see, His credentials to lead the TSA are sound. We look forward to meeting with him after his confirmation, unquote. If the union gets approval to represent TSA employees, it stands to get about 40,000 new dues-paying members. Just a wild guess here, but I think the kissing up to the new boss will end about the time contract negotiations start. One of the big selling points for space programs has always been the spin-off applications for Earthlings. Everything from digital watches to GPS are attributed to man's efforts in space, and now there's a venture capital fund created specifically to speed those innovations to market. The European Space Agency has launched OSTF, the Open Sky Technologies Fund, an early-stage venture capital fund aimed at nurturing the most promising business opportunities arising from space technologies and satellite applications for terrestrial industries. The fund will be managed by Triangle Venture Capital Group on ESA's behalf. The fund is opening with about $20 million and hopes to have assets of $136 million by June of next year. Michel Courtois, ESA Director of Technical and Quality Management, explains that if innovators can't get funding, the ancillary benefits of space technology are lost. He says ESA's Technology Transfer Program Office, quote, has built up an extensive technology transfer network. ESA has set up a quartet of business incubation centers, which have helped to create more than 70 companies so far. But for these incubated companies to continue to grow, they need access to investment capital. With the OSTF, ESA is supporting young and entrepreneurial companies, which are putting innovative ideas from space technology, services, and applications to terrestrial uses. This will help to increase the benefits coming back from space to European citizens, unquote. You know, if the fund succeeds in that goal, it would be a relatively cheap way to build broad political support for continued funding of space exploration by European governments. Just another wild guess here. That may be the whole point. And finally today, the U.S. Army says one of its programs is approaching a million-hour milestone. But it's probably not what you'd first guess. It's unmanned aerial vehicle operations. Speaking to soldiers and defense industry professionals last week during a symposium in Florida, Colonel Christopher Carlisle, the director of the Army's Unmanned Aircraft Systems Center of Excellence, says about 90% of the hours flown in the Army's UAS program are in support of combat operations. Quote, right now it looks like we'll hit probably 1 million total hours sometime next month, but it'll take us to around September or October before we'll hit 1 million hours in support of combat operations, unquote. He also described the growth in activity at the Joint Army, Navy, and Marine Training Facility at Fort Huachuca, Arizona. Quote, today we will train, in fiscal year 2010, about 800. By 2018, our requirement is over 3,000 operators, unquote. The military has traditionally been the training ground for a large percentage of civilian commercial pilots. Not that vocational training should take priority over combat needs, but adjustments will obviously have to be made by industry pretty soon. I've been told that the last U.S. military pilot has already been born, and that within a few years there will be no more manned military aircraft at all. Forget for a moment what that means for the airlines, life flight, or even scenic tours. Where will astronauts come from? That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, J. Carter Jr. of Carter Aviation Technologies talks about machines ranging from his early autogyros and steam-powered car to the slowed rotor compound technology he just licensed to Textron's AAI. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.